Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamer Tag Radio. This is your host, Danny. And yeah, it's just going to be a solo episode here on GTR. But we have a couple things we're going to be talking about, which is fan mail, a couple of news there that just came out from Xbox, their plans for the month of July, and so on. So stay tuned for that. But first, head over to GamerTagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, listen to our past episodes, and make sure to binge our episodes, share with your friends, just spread the word about GTR. You could also go to any podcast app and just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Subscribe, follow us, or even post a review. Let's say you listen to us through Stitcher, you could post a review there, or through Apple Podcasts and other places, just post your review. It will help us out to be discovered from other people. We also will climb to the top of the charts and so on. Doesn't matter where around the world, just do that and help us out big time. And if you would like to be part of our fan mail episode, which we're going to be doing that in a few minutes, this is how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, make sure to mention your name, location, and make it less than a minute. Less than 60 seconds, your question, so we could post that on the show. If your audio is longer than that, it's going to be very, very difficult for us to put it on the show because we just like the fast-paced questions. We talk about it and so on. So just make sure to make the audio short. All right, so we're going to have some fan mail questions here in a few minutes. And yes, it's going to be solo, so be ready for that. But here's some news that just came out earlier today. About Summer Game Fest demo event coming from Xbox. And this is going to be happening from July 21st through July 27th. Now, a lot of you are asking, like, what in the world is a Summer Game Fest demo event? All right, so I'm going to take it back to E3 2006. I remember being there at the event. And, of course, the majority of people are home watching the videos and playing games and so on, right? Watching videos from E3. And it was announced at that time where right after the briefing, they were like, all right, these game demos are available now for the people that are from home and they can be at the event. And a lot of the gamers just downloaded. I think one of them was Lost Planet. I can't remember exactly the other ones, but it was a couple of demos. And that was pretty cool. So there's people that couldn't attend E3 or they can't attend E3. And this is just another way where you could actually play the demo from home. I know Nintendo has done something like that, but only in stores. So if you go to like Best Buy, you'll play like Smash Brothers or other Nintendo games for like a certain limited amount of time. That only will be available at Best Buy. So something similar to that. But this one is different. This one is going to be all about independent games. So let me give you the details. This is from Xbox. All right, so this was announced on Xbox Wire. When you go over there and read all the details about this. So it says, we're proud to reveal our Summer Games Fest demo event will be live on Xbox One from July 21st to July 27th. This showcase will feature demos of upcoming independent games on Xbox dashboard for developers to showcase early versions of their games they otherwise would have presented in-person events like E3. We'll have more than, get ready for this one, 60 brand new game demos for upcoming unreleased games, Xbox games. So, and all are going to be available to check out totally free. So all you have to do is be on the lookout for a special Game Fest demo tile on the Xbox One dashboard that week, which is July 21st through July 27th, where you could find this collection and you could download the demos and play right there. I think that's pretty cool. I mean, look, we're in the pandemic right now. A lot of these events just got shut down. And I think this is the closest that we're all going to feel that we're part of E3, but from home. I think that's awesome. Really, really awesome. Great job to Xbox. And they haven't done that in a very long time. Man, I think since like 2006. That was the last time where I remember hearing about multiple demos coming out during the week of E3. So this is super, super cool. Here's the thing. The rumor also is that the Xbox first party event, which is going to take place in July, the rumor is now that that event is going to take place July 23rd, which is the same week where we're going to see the Summer Game Fest demo event. It's going to be a crazy, insane week. This one I would like to do for you guys, for those who are listening, and I want the listeners to be involved with this too. Usually back in the days when there was some Halo events, Midnight events or Gears or any big AAA games that's coming out at midnight, we want the listeners to call us from the location, from the stores, and I want them to tell us like, hey, how is it over there? How's the reaction? Tell us about the store. So I would like to do something like this, but during Summer Game Fest demo event in July. So this is what we're going to do. I would love for you to call us through fan mail. It could be also voicemail through SpeakPipe. Or you could call us 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. Call us and let us know which demo us, the listener, and even us, the host, which one we should check out once you download this during the week of that event. I think it will be super cool. Just make sure to tell us the name of the game. Of course, mention your name, your location, and tell us why in less than 60 seconds. You do that, we'll do a whole special episode all about Summer Game Fest demo event. All right, deal? Deal. So that's going to be later this month, and I will remind you once we get closer to that, okay? And also, we are going to be covering, once it's officially announced, Xbox reveal event about all their first-party games. That's going to happen, too, on Gamertag Radio Twitch stream. That's going to be live there. So make sure to subscribe or follow us on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/GamerTag Radio. That's twitch.tv/GamerTag Radio. And also join our Discord, because now we have over 1,000 members now in our Discord from around the world. Listeners have been then joined from everywhere, and we've been having a great conversation. And I know Mandy, shout out to her, and also Tanya, they've been adding a couple new features for our channel. So make sure to join. It's totally free. All you have to do is go to discord.gg/GTR. That's discord.gg/GTR, and join and have a conversation with everybody from the GTR community. Okay. All right. So I think it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Hey, so we have a couple of questions here. So I know we have emails, which I think it would be good for us to read some emails too and play some voicemails. So let's go with the first email. And look, I haven't read this. This is brand new to me. So let's see what happens. So this is from Charles from PA. And he writes, hi, GTR. With the new rumor that Lockhart is very close to PlayStation 5 making it the regular Xbox Series S and not an underpowered console, probably not quite as good as the PlayStation 5, but close. This means the Series X is the upgraded model. The reason is called Series X. If Microsoft launches the S and the X at the same time, does this mean in 3 years we should not see an updated Xbox? Because there will be a PlayStation 5 Pro in 3 years, if PlayStation 5 is underpowered, and it will be better than Series X if that is the upgraded model. Launching the S and the X at the same time makes it more sense than X and an underpowered cheap option. What are your thoughts on this possibility? All right. So I think usually companies, when they release, I'm not talking about specs. Leave that to Paris and Piga. They're into the whole spec stuff. I'm not into that stuff. But I'll mention this, that usually companies, when they release a console, it usually take a good 3 years or so to release like a new model, right? But it all depends. Let's see how the review is about the current consoles that we have. Are going to make it smaller? Are they going to make it more affordable because of the new design? A little bit more faster? We'll see. I think that doesn't matter which version you get for either Xbox Series X, S, PlayStation 5, the regular one, or the digital version, I think you could be fine for a couple of years. Unless there's some heating problems or some issues that people are just not liking at all, then that might be possible that we're going to see a new version of those consoles with a better design. I just don't see PlayStation releasing a PlayStation 5 Pro. They really don't need to, man. I think it was a different case when it came with this version that came out for this generation, PlayStation 4. It's a little bit different. Plus, we might see, personally, I see more of like a slim version than a Pro version. That's my opinion. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Paris and Pete will have different opinions about that. But in my opinion, again, my opinion, I just don't see it. If this is going to be a very powerful console, then why are they going to make it even more powerful? I don't know. It's just my opinion. But I do see PlayStation making it a slimmer and smaller version, so make it more cheaper. That's like, I see more of that than a Pro version. So I hope that answers your question. And let's go with the other question here. This is Mike. Let's hear this.
Hey, guys. This is Mike calling from the UK. And I've got a question that I'm not hearing discussed anywhere. This is about smart delivery and whether or not this approach is going to come and bite Microsoft in the bum. As a gamer with limited cash, I'm looking at the next gen thinking, I don't need to give Microsoft any of my money at all. I can play everything that I want to play, Halo, all first party, and lots of third party stuff, Destiny. I can play it all on my Xbox One and put all my hard-earned cash that I would have put into a Series X. I can give that to Sony and buy a PS5, and I've got everything then. I've got best of both worlds, but only Sony has got any money out of me. Do you think if other gamers take this approach, Microsoft are going to start to feel a bit of a pinch, and Sony are going to benefit indirectly from Microsoft's strategy? Love to hear your thoughts, guys. I'm not hearing this talked about anywhere else, and I find that surely if I'm thinking about it, other people are too. Anyway, guys, take care. Speak soon. Cheers. Bye.
Hey, Mike, great question here, man. And here's the thing that I think you probably haven't been hearing about, but let's say 3 years from now, we'll get to see now exclusive games that's only going to be available on Xbox Series X and S, right? So if you have the original, let's say you have the Xbox One X right now, in 3 years, those games might not be playable on that system unless Microsoft added through the Project S Cloud and you could still play those games, right? So Microsoft is not losing money by you decided to do that. You know why? Because you're still going to be part of the subscription service. You're still going to be part of Xbox Live. They're not losing any money. Remember, it's not about buying the console and that's it. It's beyond that. You also got to think about Xbox Game Pass, right? So, okay, you don't buy the Xbox Series X, but I bet you once they start announcing games that's only going to be available for those consoles, that's exclusive to those consoles, then the chances might be high of you like, oh man, I got to buy a new Xbox. The thing with PlayStation 5, all those games that are announced, you can't play those games on PlayStation 4. So they're doing it in a different type of way, you know, to get people to buy the PlayStation 5, which I totally get, you know, but Xbox is not going to be losing money if you do that. You're still going to be part of the ecosystem no matter what. So, yeah, I just want to say that because I think a lot of people thinking, we're still thinking of the mentality of like, oh man, Microsoft has to sell a lot of units of the new console in order for them to make money. And nobody's talking about how they're making more money now. It's not about the console. It's about the subscription service. It's about just Xbox in general. You play games on the PC, they're still making money because you're buying those games or you're subscribing to their service. So how are they losing money? They're not losing money. I don't think so. So that's just me. But thanks, Mike, for the question. So let's go with another voicemail here. I don't know. This is voicemail number two. Let's go.
Hey, Gamertag Radio. This is Adam from Casper, Wyoming. Two different things that I want to bring up. I was listening to your recent podcast about PlayStation and some of the games that were produced. Do you think maybe the reason that they were showing more indie games, non-AAA games, is because a lot of these companies that don't have money that would have went to E3, they're giving them the benefit to be able to actually promote their games in a way that can help them, maybe partnering up with them, something that they wouldn't have the funding to do, to show the quality of their games without the help from maybe PlayStation. They should have showed maybe a AAA title or two. Don't get me wrong. I agree with that. Anyways, also, Keon, what is your favorite video game? I want to ask you that, just gamer to gamer. I love hearing what you have to say.
Why he asked a question to Keon? Very strange. I don't care. But that's for you, Keon. All right, so thank you for the voicemail. Here's the thing. I don't see an issue with companies showing indie games during their press conferences. I think that's a good thing because, remember, a lot of the indie studios are always doing stuff that nobody else is doing. Typically, we always going to get to see the same type of games from companies that do the sequels. Indies, they're doing totally different things, like stuff that even the major studios will take the idea and add it to their games. So I don't see anything wrong with that, number one. Number two, think of it this, man. Remember games like Cuphead that came out, and that was an indie game. It took forever to make that game, right? Came out for the Xbox, and then it came out for the Switch. But it became so big, other companies started releasing games similar to that one, right? Very, very small amount of group of studios did that, but it wasn't as successful as Cuphead. Cuphead became so big that now this studio is working on a anime cartoon show for Netflix. I think that's awesome. But it was good that Xbox helped them to promote that, to promote the game. Microsoft has been really good with marketing. I know when PlayStation came out with the PlayStation 4, they were focusing a lot on indie. Even during the PlayStation, what's the name of the event they always have? The PlayStation event they always have, for the gamers will go buy the tickets and go and attend. When you go to the event, all you see is indie developers showing their games at that event. Also at E3, you will also see at the booth just indie games. So I feel like indie games, so I think indie games should be out there even more. I know Nintendo been very successful on selling those type of games for the Switch. And it's perfect too. I could take those games on the go, everything. So yeah, I think it's important. I think it's very, very important. And yeah, maybe they don't have the budget, but the game is probably so unique and so special that this will be an opportunity for all these three companies to showcase those type of games, and is only going to be available for those consoles. I know gamers personally that all they do is play indie games. They don't play no AAA, no sports, only independent games. And that's fine too, man. That's part of our industry, man. Without the indies, our industry will still be focusing on just the AAA, and that's it. So I think that's awesome. Make sure to support your favorite indie developer and studio. And if you have one that you think we should check out, let us know on Discord, let us know on the show, and we'll try our best to promote it. All right, let's go with the next question.
Hey, Gary Tag Radio. It's Devin calling in from Scotland. Just got to the top of a hill, so I'm probably sounding a bit winded. Very quickly for the fan mail episode, I wanted to give a shout out to my fellow fan, Keon. Loves hearing his stuff, so hopefully we'll hear something from Keon on the show. My question is, what are your favorite MIA games, games missing in action, things that have been announced have not materialized? For me, it is Beyond Good and Evil 2, which looks kind of like a mashup between the Fifth Element and Grand Theft Auto. Really want to know what's happening with that, and I'm hoping that there's still a plan to release at some point, but I'm sure you guys each have your own thoughts about games that have been announced and things have just gone completely silent. So please let me know. Hope you guys are keeping safe and healthy, and all the best. Take care.
All right, thank you, and you sound very tired in the beginning, man. So, you know, shout out to you, man. Thanks for sending us a voicemail here, man. Yeah, I think Beyond Good and Evil, that's a good one. I'm still, like, I don't know when they're going to start announcing more details about that game. That's the thing that I hate when companies announce a game and there's just silence and there's no date. And I don't know, sometimes it's good to tease it. Don't show too much because the stuff that they showed, it seemed like the game was coming out in a couple of years and it hasn't come out anything. So it hasn't come out. So that's the thing that just sucks. That's the issue that I have about companies showing games with no dates. I don't know. It just drives me crazy. But anyways, here's a couple. I think Metro Prime 4, I want to know what's up with that. I know supposedly they were working on the developers working on that game. And Nintendo was not satisfied, and they had to restart all over again and do a brand new Metro Prime 4 because the game that originally was being made wasn't all that, and I think Nintendo was not happy about it. So who knows when that's going to come out, but I know they've been hiring a lot of developers to work on that game. I'm waiting also for Fable. I know that's it wasn't announced or anything, but it's just been rumors for years. So I'm waiting on that. Man, what's another game? Bayonetta. Oh my God, that's another one for Nintendo Switch. Bayonetta 3. That one was announced years ago, and we still haven't heard anything. Just briefly, like during interviews, that their still development is almost done, and that's about it. So. Yeah, I mean, those are the games. I don't know what P in Paris. Hopefully, they can answer that in the during the future episode of GTR. But those are my thoughts. Let's go to the next question.
Yo, guys, what's up? Danny, good job on the Tom Warren interview. That was pretty insightful stuff. I had a question for you guys about the recently acquired studios by Xbox, or Microsoft, rather. Since they were acquired back, or at least announced in E3 2019, when do you think we can actually see those games? And then, I mean, to sum it up, do you think they're like 2+ years away? I mean, I know seeing them and actually playing them are two different things, but just wanted to get your opinions on that. Again, keep up the great work, and peace.
All right, first of all, thank you for the voicemail. There's a couple things that I've been thinking about that ever since I heard this this voicemail. Remember, you also have to remember that some of these studios, before it was they got acquired, they were probably working on projects that it wasn't going to be official that it was going to get approved or not. You know, this maybe was like side projects. And once they got acquired, maybe that got an attention from the higher-ups at Xbox. And decide like, hey, you know what? This will be perfect to release it and perfect for our subscription service, Xbox Game Pass. So I know there's been a couple of games that came out like that. I know Grounded, The Outer Worlds. There was a couple games, right? That some of them, very huge success. And there were, I think maybe there was like one or two that was like, okay, you know, but it's going to happen. It's the same thing as like when I watch a show or a movie on Netflix, man, you think it's going to be good. You're watching, you're like, but I'm still part of the subscription service, you know? So I think that's one. We might see some games that is going to come out this year for both Xbox and Xbox Series X that's going to come out during launch, right? There's also going to be games, depend if it's like smaller games from these studios, we might see it next year or a year or two, right? If it's games that is even bigger, AAA, don't be surprised if we're not going to be hearing about this for a while. Maybe we'll see those 3-4 years from now. You know, so it depends on what type of game it is. So we might see a lot of games that is going to be probably brand new IPs during the July digital event from Xbox, that these companies was probably working on this for them to see if there was any publisher that wanted to buy it, that wanted to get that and get signed. But now, because Microsoft acquired them, now that's an opportunity for them to release that exclusively for the Xbox console. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I think. I know there's going to be a couple big AAA games that's going to be announced during the event. The rumor, Perfect Dark, which we've been waiting for that for a very long time. I really didn't like the last Perfect Dark game, but it's a very important IP from Rare and now from Microsoft, because think about it. When that game came out from the Nintendo 64, it was a game changer. Yes, GoldenEye was one of the greatest FPS games that came out during that time of the Nintendo 64, but the same developers learned a lot from making that game, and they made it better for the Nintendo 64. But when Perfect Dark Zero came out, which, again, it was Rare, it was super rushed, it was a disaster, bad reviews. But now this is an opportunity for Xbox to revive that IP. And that IP, they've been working on that game for a while, for a couple of years. So that game, I wouldn't be surprised if it comes out a year or two. Perfect Dark. We might see it at this event. And in a year or two, it will be released exclusively for Xbox Series X and S. And maybe we'll play it too for Xbox One. So who knows? But all these games are going to be available for Xbox Game Pass. So that's the positive and cool thing, man. So don't be surprised that we also get to see episodic games that's only going to be exclusively for Xbox Game Pass. It will not be available to buy, but only for the service. I wouldn't be surprised if we see something like that too in the future. So those are going to be probably quick year or two type of games that will be, or maybe it has been developed for a while too, because I know Phil Spencer mentioned this in the past that he would love to release games like that in the future too, man. So I think that's cool. All right, so let's go with the next voicemail.
Hey, how y'all doing? This is Jay. I've agreed with Paris in that there isn't a reason for Microsoft to release the Lockhart because people are going to get the best one, which is the Series X. But what if Microsoft's strategy for the Lockhart is for the PlayStation market instead of Xbox fans? They know that Sony is the market leader and people will buy the PlayStation off of brand name alone without giving the Xbox a second look. So what if Microsoft's Lockhart strategy is like 2K's with NFL 2K5? They know the public prefers the competition, but they have to get their product into the hands of the public in order to win them over, and reducing the price of entry could be the ticket. So what are your thoughts on the Lockhart strategically being a Trojan horse secondary console for PlayStation fans in order to get them into the Xbox ecosystem? Thanks.
So yeah, man. So thank you for the voicemail, man. So here's the thing. Lockhart, man, that's the biggest rumor that's been going on for a while now, for a year or so. But here's the thing that you haven't really mentioned about during the voicemail. What about Nintendo Switch? Nintendo Switch, believe it or not, during the month of May, I think it was during the month of May, I got to double check from the NPDs. Did you know it outsold both PlayStation and Xbox One combined during the month of May? That's insane. Insane. Why? It's cheaper, and you could buy a lot of these games too. Well, not cheaper. It's not. No, let me erase that. Nintendo has a library, man. So that's one. Now with Lockhart, that system could be cheap. The rumor is, and again, I mentioned this already, that this might be half of the price of Xbox Series X. Imagine this. Imagine Microsoft in August finally announced Lockhart, the official name and everything. They'll mention the price of Xbox Series X, and that will be the perfect time to say, oh no, wait, we have a cheaper option. Check out our new console, Lockhart. They could also do this. Say, let's make believe the console is, and this is the rumor, I'm not saying this confirmed, the rumor is Lockhart might be $249, $199. That's the rumor, right? Imagine you also have another option, the subscription option, which is all you have to do is subscribe to our service, to this, for like a good 2 years on the contract, and you get this, you will get this console for free. If you listen to the interview that I had with Tom Warren a couple weeks ago, he mentioned that. He goes, I wouldn't be surprised if that console is for free. Now, PlayStation is the leader right now in this generation, but let's keep it real right now. The situation that we're in worldwide when it comes to the economy, a lot of people, especially parents, don't want to waste a lot of money on a very expensive console. So if I'm a parent and I go to the store and I see, let's say, PlayStation 5, let's just make believe, I see the disc version and the digital version, and the digital version is cheaper, which version do you think I'm going to do, man? And I'm going to buy. I'm going to buy the digital version because it's cheaper as a parent, right? How about this, man? I go to the store and I see the same situation, man. Xbox Series X, Xbox Series S. And I see, wow, I could buy this for this price. Oh, wait a minute. I could subscribe and pay, let's say, $20 a month for this cheap console, or $30 for the Xbox Series X. And I also will get Xbox Game Pass, Xbox Live, Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. What? Wait a minute. Project S Cloud is included? Dude, game changer. I will go with that. I will go, and you know what? I wouldn't mind paying $20 or $30 a month, because again, the economy is right now, a lot of people are having a hard time paying their rent, paying their bills. You know, some people out there have been buying, you know, gaming consoles, especially the ones that we have right now in this generation of PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, because it's cheap, right? But I love that strategy that Xbox is doing, that you don't need to buy Lockhart or you don't need to buy Xbox Series X to play Halo Infinite. You could go and buy an Xbox One S and you could still play Halo Infinite. And I bet you could find that for super cheap. So at the end of the day, man, it's all about the price. Whatever works for the parent, for the gamer. If you don't have enough, you probably will go for the cheaper option. And maybe in the future, you'll buy the high-end one, right? So that's what I think. And please tell me if I'm right or wrong. If you guys disagree, hit me up. My Twitter account, Godfrey, G-O-D-F-R-E-E, or hit us up on fan mail. All right, let's go with the final question here.
Hey, what's going on, GTR crew? This is Leo from Las Vegas. I want to say a happy belated Father's Day to those of you that are applicable. I just wanted to give you guys the shout-out, and I have a question. But the shout-out particularly because following a lot of video game-related podcasts, and you guys have the type of work ethic that is just ridiculous. It's awesome. You guys are constantly going. So definitely glad you got to take a couple of days posting some other stuff, because you guys deserve it. You guys are awesome. That being said, I realize there's something missing from my life. Right now it's about E3 time, and we haven't had any Miss Leos. There's no predictions. Like, I get it that things are different. There's no E3 proper, but, like, come on. I know you guys got them. We need them. We need them. So if you can, give us some predictions for what you got for any of the big companies, and we'd love to hear it. All right? Thanks, guys. Peace.
All right. So thank you for the voicemail, but I think it's time for Miss Leo Mini predictions.
Hey darling, this is certified psychic Miss Leo. The guys at Gamertag Radio have pulled me out of retirement to give them some free readings. So I've been using the power of the tarot cards to look into the future, baby. You hear me?
Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
All right. So Miss Leo is back. I haven't heard her in a very long time. So hello, Miss Leo. Paris and P, they're not here, so we can't officially make an official Miss Leo predictions, right? But how about if I give you a very small mini predictions of what I think Xbox is going to show at their event sometime this month, which is the rumor July 23rd. All right. One of my predictions is this. And I think we mentioned this a couple of times already on the show, and Paris mentioned this too, Pete. Open up the show with Halo Infinite. Halo Infinite, show some gameplay. I think that will be a very powerful way to open up the show. The reason is that game is coming out this year. It's the biggest game for Xbox, the biggest franchise that they have right now, period. There's nothing that comes close to that. Maybe Minecraft on a different level. But I'm talking about AAA games. Halo Infinite, start with that. If we get to see announcement from like Fable, Perfect Dark from Initiative, they could easily, Microsoft could add that like maybe in the middle or towards the end. Tease it for a game that's coming out 2021. 2022. I think that would be a great way to end the show. Like, oh no, we have one more thing and show that. Now, what are the chances of us seeing a game like Banjo-Kazooie that we haven't seen in years? Years. An official, I know they had one for the 360, but it wasn't all that. It was whatever. And if you think about it too, Xbox gave the okay, they gave the green light to have that character for the Nintendo Switch to play it on Smash Brothers. There's a whole new audience that went crazy when they heard about Banjo coming back, right? This is the perfect opportunity to bring that franchise back. So I think, dude, if I'm Phil Spencer, I'm like, okay, this is it. Let's release this on Smash. People are going to be excited. And now we could bring that audience to buy our console or to subscribe to Game Pass, because now we have that game available there exclusively. It's not going to be on Nintendo Switch. It's not going to be on PlayStation. It's going to be on Xbox. I can see that happening. I wouldn't be surprised if they show. Now, I do think we are going to see a lot of new IPs. Like I said a couple minutes ago, there's going to be games that we've never heard of. And it's because the majority of these studios have been working on that behind the scenes before Xbox acquired them. So I could see that happening too. We're going to see a lot of new IPs. And again, it's going to be available on Xbox Game Pass, right? We might see, and this is what I heard. This is not something that's like official or not. I know originally we thought this was only going to be a first party event, but don't be surprised if we might see a very small group of games, maybe one or two, that is from third party, but maybe as like a time exclusive, something exclusive for Xbox, you know, something big. I could see something like that happening during this event, because it's not going to be 100% just first party. There are going to be some third party that maybe is going to just come out first on Xbox or something like that. I wouldn't be surprised. I think that's about it. I don't know if there's any other games that might be coming out. Now, I would love to hear an Xbox studio in Japan, hey, the return of Lost Odyssey. I think that would be amazing. I don't know if anybody got to play that game. And I'm not sure if it's available on Xbox Game Pass. I'm not 100% sure. But I purchased that game again. That game is a gem. A gem that came out during the Xbox 360 days. If you have an opportunity to play this game, that you love RPG, that traditional JRPG, go download The Lost Odyssey. That would be so cool if Phil Spencer managed to get a studio in Japan to bring that game back and do a sequel. Man, That would be awesome. Another game that I think it was really good too that came out back in the days that I wish they bring that back is also Blue Dragon. That would be an awesome, awesome game to bring back, man. You know what I'm saying? So now a game that this is going to be a let me dream moment, because I've been saying this for a while, and actually today is the 20th anniversary of Jet Set Radio. The 20th anniversary of Jet Set Radio. I know there's been interviews, usgamer.net. Go over there and read the interview where they interviewed the original developers of that game. And one of the questions that they mentioned was, would you like to bring this game back? And they said, look, yes, we would love to bring this game back, but we want a younger developer team to do this, because when they released that game back then, they were young, they were hungry, they had so many cool ideas during those days of Sega Dreamcast, you know, competing on the PlayStation back then, right? They were hungry and they managed to create a classic game. And he said they would love to see this game return back to, but have a new group of developers that never worked on that game, brand new. They just started working in the industry and they're hungry and they're working on that game and never release it again. So just imagine, that would be so cool if Microsoft managed to do to bring that game back. I think that would be awesome, because if you actually think about it, Jet Set Radio Future came out for the original Xbox. And that was supposed to be a game that was worked on probably for the Sega Dreamcast. But because of the sales of that console back in the days, they stopped production. Manufacturing that game, that system, right? But a lot of those games that was coming out for that system came out for the Xbox. And that game only came out for that system. No other place. The original came out in all systems later, years later. But Jet Set Radio Future, only on Xbox. So why not bring that game back? I think that would be awesome. I love the soundtrack. It was a lot of fun. And it's all up to Sega, man. All up to Sega. But remember this. If Sega gave the okay for a company to do Streets of Rage 4, they also gave the okay to Nintendo to have the exclusive game of Bayonetta 1 and 2 and also now 3, as long as they could put money in for the development, Microsoft could do the same exact thing. Sorry, my phone. Sega could do the same exact thing for Jet Set Radio Future. I mean, not future, but the next Jet Set Radio. They need a Japanese game that is going to get a lot of attention. It can't just be these AAAs from the US. It has to be something developed in Japan. And that will be an opportunity to be big over there in Japan. And the only reason why I'm saying that is not because of the sales of the console, but think about Xbox Game Pass, because the majority of people in Japan, they play games on their phone. They play games on the Nintendo Switch. The sales of PlayStation 4 is not big over there compared to Europe and Latin America and United States. In Japan, it's pretty low. But Nintendo Switch, you can't even find that over there. You can't find that worldwide. It's hard to find that console because it's on the go. People are always out. It's affordable. There's a lot of great games there. You know what I'm saying? So I think that would be something cool to see. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but that's one of those let me dream moments. Let me tell you, man, if we're streaming and we'll get to hear Jet Set Radio coming back, I'm just saying right now, through the mic, to you, the listener. I don't know if you guys are sitting down, working out or something. I'll scream my lungs out if I found out that game is a comeback. I don't care who. Look, it could even be PlayStation. I don't care which company. Somebody make that game come back, man. It's a gem. Before Wind Waker, there was Jet Set Radio. Those graphics, cel shading, that was all Jet Set Radio. It started everything. You know, soundtrack, amazing. So we'll see in the future, man.
Hello.
Hey, Paris.
Hey.
We haven't done a daily conversations, man. So this is an emergency kind of way daily conversation podcast. What'd you think about that?
Oh, that's fine. Thankfully, my wife's not here because, you know, with COVID, every time I get on the phone, she's like, close the door. What you in there talking about? So now we can do it.
Oh, there you go.
Let's do it.
Well, tell us, hey, what's up? Yo, Paris. So yesterday, you know, I was doing things busy, you know, with my family and stuff. But I heard there was some breaking news of a price hike, a price increase for 2K games, NFL. I mean, not NFL, NBA 2K.
Yeah. 2K21 is going to be $70 for next gen. And then what is it? The I think it's the Kobe edition or whatever the heck it is like $100, something like that.
Yeah. But here's the thing, man. There's no other company that announced that their price is going to increase. This is like the first time. And the thing that I've been thinking about all day yesterday and today, two things. One, of course, I think this is going to make more people to join Xbox Game Pass because of this, if all the games, like the price increase. Two, how is that is going to affect like games like, let's say, Cyberpunk, Assassin's Creed, that has smart delivery, but let's say there is two versions of those type of games in other consoles, right? Why pay $70 if you just buy the old version from like the current console, right? And then with smart delivery, you just upgrade it and you don't need to pay anything and it's totally free. So I don't know, man. I think this is going to confuse a lot of people, man. And it was going to make them make some choices of like going to Game Pass and so on. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the first thing that, like you said, is 2K has been the only one to do this with NBA. We don't know that every publisher is going to raise the prices on their games up to $70. So this could just be an anomaly and everything is still $60. And for the very reason that you're stating right now, it could create confusion in the market that if I buy the current gen version, it's 60, but if I buy the next gen version, it's 70. But if I buy the current gen version, then it'll auto upgrade with smart delivery to the current gen version. So which one freaking is it? So we still don't know. Clearly PlayStation's not said anything yet. EA hasn't come out and said anything like with Madden and all that. And obviously Xbox hasn't said anything either. So when I saw the news, it didn't surprise me because, just being honest, we've been long overdue for a price hike on games. So if they were to go to 70, it wouldn't shock me just because the development costs of games, the studios, just the budgets are huge and they got to compensate for it somehow. My second thought when I saw this was this adds more value to Xbox Game Pass because now you're telling people, okay, games are $70. Why don't I just subscribe to a gaming service and it's going to give me access to all these games for a set price and I don't have to drop $70 every time I want to play a new game. And I know when I said that on Twitter, people got, they're going to raise the price of Game Pass. Maybe, maybe not. I highly doubt it, to be honest with you. And I also understand that not every game is going to be in Game Pass. If there's a game that isn't in Game Pass that you want to play, you're going to spend the $70 for it then, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're, let's say pretend Xbox comes out in July, they have this amazing exclusive lineup and you're like, oh my God, why would you not just invest in Game Pass at that point and guarantee yourself that you're going to get all those games and you don't have to worry about spending $70 every time you want to play one of these games. That's where it starts to come into play. That's where EA doing their subscription service makes sense. That's where Ubisoft doing their gaming subscription makes sense. PlayStation Now could evolve into something like that. Again, it won't shock me to see if prices of single games go up, then subscription services become more valuable because we've already seen that on the other side with TV and movies because what's the most popular thing to do now? Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, HBO Max, NBC's doing Peacock thing, all of these subscription services. So games starting to go there won't shock me at all.
No, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised about that.
at all. But here's another thing too that we also have to talk about. Like, I see this more from the third party side increasing their prices for the games, but I just don't see companies like PlayStation, Xbox, and even Nintendo rising like they're, I mean, announcing like their price is going to go up too. I just don't see it, dude. I don't know. I see more.
I don't see it either.
And like you said, yeah, it's definitely going to benefit Xbox Game Pass, and hopefully maybe that will change things around for PlayStation now in the future, man, you know? And who knows what Nintendo's going to do. They're probably just going to do their thing and continue to sell games for like $60 still, you know? Who knows?
Yeah, agreed. They're just going to keep doing their thing. Nintendo's Nintendo. I don't see them changing anything at all. Hey, we're moving into the next gen. You can't expect everything to stay the same as it's been the past 15 years. I forget when games went up to $60. I think, what was that, 15, 20 years ago? Something like that?
Yeah. And do you remember, Paris, like the first time we heard that the games, like the prices for the games was going to go up? We were like, what? It felt like, at that time, of course, it felt like it was going to be the end for the gaming industry for us. Like, I mean, that's when before we got into this, you know, all this industry stuff, right? But now with technology and the whole subscription services, I'm not mad about that too. And also we understand why these prices is going up. It's because budget, the amount of people that have been working on like all these AAA titles. There's now we have more knowledge. Back then we were just like, no, that's too much. That's, you know what I'm saying? So it's good that we know about this now more.
You know? Remember this. This ain't the first time video games has cost $70. If you go back to the 90s, I vividly remember Super Mario Brothers 3 costing $70. I remember all those SNK games costing $70. So this ain't the first time
we've had this. It's not.
And here's the thing. If it goes up to 70, yes, people will not. We never like change. We obviously don't want to spend more money than we have to. So, of course, there's going to be pushback on it initially. Mm-hmm. But you know what will happen a year or 2 years from now? It'll just become the norm. And we'll just carry on as it is. I mean, look, I'm a cheap ass, okay? So I don't run out and buy every game anyways. And look, I understand we're in a position where we get games to review and stuff like that. So people are like, well, you don't spend your money. Actually, I spend a lot more buying my own games than you might think. But the point remains, I'm very picky with what I get anyways. Price increase just makes me even more picky. I'm not going to run out and spend $70 unless I know this is a game that I'm truly gonna get my enjoyment out of, right? So what does that mean? That means I don't pre-order a game. That means I wait to actually start to see feedback on it before I go pick it up. That's just being a smart consumer to do that, unless I'm just blindly gonna go in. Like, I guess let's just take Cyberpunk as an example. At this point, screw it, of course. I would just go buy Cyberpunk at this point. But a game that's unproven to me, a new IP that I don't know about, maybe I'm a little more hesitant to just run out and go get it. Maybe I want to wait to see what people are saying before I do. But then at the same time, this is where I bring up the subscription stuff again. Game Pass allows me to not worry about that because technically I already own the game anyways. So if I see something that looks interesting, I just download and play it. If I don't like it, oh well, I stop playing and move on.
Yeah. No, you know? Totally agree. Yeah, look, just a couple nights ago, I went to Xbox Game Pass, the dashboard, and there was a bunch of new games that they just got added. And I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm going to download a lot of indie games, you know. So, and that's another thing, too, Paris, we have to talk about. Like, this is going to be an opportunity for the indie studios to make even better games for a cheaper price.
Yes.
So definitely people got to take advantage of that, too, man. You know, it's not always has to be AAA games. You know, so a game like Grand Theft Auto, a new one, that definitely is going to cost $70. That's 100% sure that's going to happen. You know? So, I mean, it's the same. They're the same parent company, right? Under Take Two.
Yeah, so it's
2K and Rockstar. Yeah. So mm-hmm. Now another thing too, Paris, I know we were talking about this while I was taking lunch. The July event. There's been rumors of the dates. So supposedly it's going to be July 23rd. during that same week, there's also an indie game Summerfest game demo event where you could go and download up to like 60 indie games available just demo wise. Instead of playing it at PAX or at E3, you could just play it at home, try it out, let me know what you think, boom, right? And everybody's going to be talking about like all these games that they've been playing, right? So it's going to be a big week for Xbox, man. Doing that and plus the digital event in the middle of that, I think it's going to be freaking amazing, man. Amazing. And who knows what else they're going to be announcing that week too, man. Look, this is by far the most important month for Xbox. It's make it or break it for them, believe it or not. If this digital event is a failure, I just don't know how they're going to come back and fix these issues, because this is their first party games. This is the opportunity for the company to gas everybody up, like, okay, why we need to buy Xbox Series X, why we should subscribe to Xbox Game Pass. You know what I'm saying? So, and like you said multiple times, Xbox, Halo, one of the most important games for the company.
Not one of, and I argue this one to the bloody end, because people love to push back on me when I say this on Twitter.
Yeah.
It is the most important game that Xbox has ever made. Mm-hmm. I get there is no Xbox without Halo Combat Evolved. I understand that. But in the current state of where Xbox is, and going into this next generations with the failures that they've had over the past 7 years with Xbox One, all the momentum that was lost from Halo 5 with the IP. Not only does Halo Infinite, I love talking about this because it just makes me laugh.
Yeah.
But not only does Halo Infinite have the responsibility of revitalizing the Halo franchise alone, it also has the responsibility of proving that Xbox is taking their exclusive lineup seriously with quality titles that are going to engage people. It also has the responsibility of boosting Game Pass. It also has a responsibility of boosting Project xCloud. It also has a responsibility of selling their next-gen hardware, be it Series X, Lockhart, Coleco 12, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. That game is that important. If Halo Infinite fails, I'm telling you, it is going to be a rough generation for Xbox, no matter what they do beyond that, because this is the kickoff to their message, to their overall marketing plan.
Mm-hmm.
That July event on the 23rd is all about Halo. I'm telling you, it's all about Halo. You have to come out of that event talking about Halo, because if you're not, it's failure. And not to mention, the game actually has to be good whenever we got to get our hands on it and start playing it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
There's a lot of pressure on 343. A lot, I'm telling you. And that's not just saying it old fanboy stuff or whatever. That's just the reality of it. If you look at the reality of Xbox as a company, a lot is riding on that game. A lot.
Yeah. What are the chances of Xbox and also 343 saying, and the Halo Infinite multiplayer demo is available right now? That same demo that we were supposed to play at E3, but now you're playing it at home.
80%. I give it an 80% chance that that happens. That, and when I say that, it may not necessarily be that day of the 23rd, but they will announce a date that'll be a few days out. Like, it'll be within a week. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not day and date within that week, they're going to say, and the beta is available to all Game Pass subscribers.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we're doing another dollar subscription for Game Pass too. So it's just more incentive to get people to jump on Game Pass.
Yep. And here's another thing too, Paris. Thinking about it now, I think they're not going to release it that week because the company wants everybody to download all these indie games,
yep,
right? Because that will take over all the shine. Nobody's going to play the indie games. They're going to go and download Halo. So announce that there's a multiplayer demo and release it in a couple weeks.
Like, I'm pulling up my calendar right now.
Yep.
It's not crazy to say July 30th, which would be a week later, July 30th, July 31st is the Halo beta. And then and then you do it over that weekend. You let everyone play that beta over the weekend.
Yeah. I can see that. I can see that.
Yeah, I can totally see that. I can totally see that.
Yeah. Definitely. And just play it, get hype about it, and this will be this is the chance again to gas us up to buy Halo Infinite later this year, man.
But that's what they have to do, though. Yeah. And again, you use Halo. Well, not only do you use Halo Infinite beta to get more people to sign up for Game Pass, you use the fact that Halo Infinite is a part of Game Pass to have people keep subscribing to it.
Yeah.
You know, going into the launch of Series X. Not to mention, to me, it's a freaking layup. I don't know how they don't do this. In August, when they unveil Series X and Lockhart and the price and the date when all that stuff comes out, 3 months of Game Pass is included. How you don't do that, I don't know. You literally, that is the ultimate launch bundle. You're basically telling everyone that picks up that new hardware day one, we're giving you 3 months of all our games. There you go.
Insane. For free. And you know, this is, like you said a while back, you're like, this is how when Nintendo bundle up Dunk Hunt and Mario Brothers and they added like the Nintendo gun in there. This is it. This is it. That bundle. You know, but now instead of only two games, you're getting over 100 games plus a first party, you know. So, all right, Paris. So here's the crazy conspiracy Steve moment now, because I know we talked about this a couple of days ago and I tweeted about it. A couple of people already shut me down, but I don't know, man. I'm just going to stick with it, man. So I'm going to mention this here. So back a couple months ago, I was just thinking, I was like, you know, it was one of those quarantine moments. I was thinking, and I hit up Paris and I told him, Paris, what are the chances of Xbox coming out early instead of November? How about if the system comes out in September, maybe October? Because why release it the same month as PlayStation 5? Be the first, get that crazy, you know, great reviews about Halo Infinite and all this stuff, right? And just release it early. So I mentioned that to him. Now, originally, I also said, hey, release Lockhart maybe November, right before Black Friday, you know, have it for a cheaper price. Because think about it. Xbox Series X, the company has been promoting this for a long time. First time we got to see the console was in December, which we have never seen that before, right? At the Video Game Awards. And look how much time the company has been promoting the console. No games mentioned at all. Maybe only one and that's it since December, right? Promoting it nonstop. Then all these interviews, nothing about Lockhart. So everybody knows about the console. Have it ready. Announce the date. Say, let's make believe, mid-September or the end of September. Release it with Halo Infinite, which, by the way, if you go back, Halo has always been, the majority of time, been always coming out in November. There's only been one time during Halo 3 that the game came out in September instead of November because the company didn't want to compete with Call of Duty Modern Warfare at that time. So the game came out in September, right? So do that, and then in November, well, actually in August, announce Lockhart at their next digital event, announce the price, and announce the dates. But Lockhart comes out later, maybe like a 2 months later, the end of October or November, right before Black Friday. So now you have the high-end one, very expensive. If you have Lockhart, which is going to be the cheaper version, which everybody's going to go to the stores or online, and they see that cheaper version, and they will buy that instead of buying an expensive version, you know? So my thing to you, man, do you still believe that theory or you kind of like, Danny, you're nuts? That's not going to happen.
You're not nuts. I back off a little bit from our phone conversation in that I think COVID screws this up. And look, I fully admit certain people that responding on Twitter that we respect in the industry pointing out logic and reason made me go, wait, maybe they're right.
Because yeah.
Logistically with COVID, that it isn't so much that the hardware couldn't launch early, because I really believe it can. It's more so game development. And again, shout out to Ryan McCaffrey, because he was the first one to say that. He goes, most games come in at launch hot. So it's just reality that COVID has slowed down development of these games. So again, Halo Infinite as an example, there's no way the Series X comes out and Halo Infinite isn't available day one. So if Halo Infinite can't be ready for September, October, and they can't get it out until November, then you're holding the Series X launch until November. I do think they wanted to launch early, though. That I do believe. I do believe there was a scenario, like Brad Sams from the Windows Insider stuff, he was even talking about this. He had heard directly from sources. They were trying to get it out as early as August, potentially. That I don't so much believe, but I believe I could see a scenario of a late September, early October launch. I believe it. And then you put out Lockhart in November for the holiday rush. Mm-hmm. I think in a non-COVID world, I think that happens. I really do. Now, I don't know. I don't know. So I wouldn't be, let's put it this way. I wouldn't be shocked if it came out early, but if it stuck to November, that wouldn't shock me either.
Now, people are going to say, why release this console early? And you had a theory. You had a theory that you mentioned on during our phone conversation. You said,
Well,
go ahead. Say here.
Yeah. My theory is pretty simple. You do it and you don't give PlayStation any time to react. Think about that. If they were to go, oh, yeah, we're out in the end of September, and play like, oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
They can't react to that because if they had no plans to do that, again, the games aren't going to be ready. So you can't just throw the hardware out there with no games. So if again, this is all pretend. Let's just pretend. Xbox, we're going to have the Series X ready the last week of September with Halo, Forza, Flight Simulator, and then, you know, some indie stuff. And obviously the third-party stuff will trickle out from there.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way PlayStation could react to that. Then you say, okay, November, Lockhart's out for $250, and oh, by the way, Banjo-Kazooie's out then too. I mean, what could you do with that? There's no way they can react to that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. That's a crazy. Because think about it, though, man. Think about it. There is a reason why we're getting this digital event at the end of July. There's a reason for that too, Paris. August. They're probably going to do the same exact thing. Push it as much as possible at the end of August, because Xbox doesn't want to be the first to announce the price. They don't. So it's going to put pressure on Sony. Like, you know what? We have to announce the console. The price, the release date. Because is Sony's going to wait all the way to the end of August? Because hey, one of the two companies is going to say, hey, you could pre-order this right now. So they could start with production, right?
Yep.
So, I don't know, man. I don't know.
It's going to be, look, the July event's going to be fun. That week in July is going to be fun just to see, because I feel like there's so much, right, like you said at the top, there's so much riding on that presentation that week. And what they're going to show. Mm-hmm. Not only does Halo have to hit, we got to see the rest of the lineup, right? The July event ain't even about the Series X and Lockhart. We'll find out more about that stuff in October, August. It's about what games, what's the roadmap looking like for the next 2 to 3 years.
Yep.
That's what we got to see.
Yep. Now, to wrap this up, people are saying that the initiative, it might not be Perfect Dark. I think it's Perfect Dark. What'd you think?
I hope it's not. I personally hope it's not, but go ahead.
Really? I thought you said you wanted Perfect Dark. What's wrong with you?
No. I want Perfect Dark. I don't want the initiative making it. I want another studio to make Perfect Dark. I want the initiative to bring something to the table that we've never seen before. That's what I want from them. They're supposed to be a quadruple A studio, so do something new.
Well,
something didn't work on existing IP.
What if they're working on multiple titles and they show Perfect Dark? Because look at Playground. They're working on multiple titles.
Could be. I mean, very well could be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, I'm going to stick with my theory until I am proven wrong. Perfect Dark is being worked on by the coalition who used to be Black Tusk, who had those assets in the 2013 E3 media briefing. I'm gonna die on that hill.
You're not gonna.
I'm proven wrong.
You're not gonna let that go. You're not gonna let that go.
Didn't
you? Wait a minute. Didn't you ask that question to Aaron a couple years ago on the show?
I sure did, man. Get no comment either.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Holy
I'm
smokes.
Dying on that hill.
Oh, man.
Look, those assets went somewhere. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Let me flesh out this theory for people that are listening that haven't heard it in a while. So at E3 2018 or E3 2013 media briefing, E3 for Xbox, Black Tusk showed off concept for a game that they were working on. And it was kind of a modern day, almost a little like a kind of a spy thriller kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Year after that, all of a sudden, Microsoft bought the rights from Epic to the Gears of War IP, and then Black Tusk turned into the Coalition. They obviously made Gears 4 and 5. The rest is history. Mm-hmm. What happened to those assets? Now, we know, well, I shouldn't say we know, but it's highly speculated that, yeah, Gears Tactics came out this year, but the Coalition is going to, quote unquote, take a break on Gears for a minute. So we're not getting Gears 6 anytime soon. They got to be working on something.
Yeah.
Right?
No, yeah. Yeah. Totally agree.
Why not Perfect Dark? Why not Perfect Dark? That's all I'm saying. And there were rumblings at some point that allegedly the Coalition was helping with the multiplayer on whatever Perfect Dark was going to be. Like another studio is working on the main part of Perfect Dark, but the Coalition was also helping with it. So I'm sticking with my theory until I'm proven wrong. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Look, we're going to find out in about 3 weeks. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll find out. We'll find out. I'm excited, dude. I'm excited now.
One last thing.
When do you think Xbox is going to announce the official date of the digital event? I personally think in a week, maybe the most two.
I think no later than the 16th, because that'll be a week before. So yeah. I think by then they'll announce it. But it would not shock me. At any point from here on in, they say, all right, get ready for July 23rd. Here it comes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're going to wrap it up here, man. Paris, thank you for joining this last minute daily conversations, man. We haven't done this in months because you were ready. You was always home. So we were like, might as well just record another podcast.
I didn't have to drive to work. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So originally, when Paris will drive to work, I'll call him, and he's like driving. He's like, "All right, Danny, let's do a daily conversation," you know. So yeah, hopefully we could do more of these in the future, man. All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
I think that was fun, right? I had a great time recording this episode. Hopefully you, the listener, please let me know how was your thoughts on this. This is me strictly solo, just having a conversation with you guys. But we have more content coming up. We have a couple multiple episodes coming out next week. So one of them is going to be a sponsored episode. Now, a lot of people are like saying, what in the world is a sponsor episode? So I'm going to explain it more next week once it's officially, but for those that are fans of The Last of Us Part 2, Sony Music contacted us that they would like to post one of their episodes on our podcast. I listened to it. You know me, I'm very picky when it comes to like sponsorship. And I was like, man, this is a pretty cool podcast. Shout out to Spicer. He was the one that worked on that. And we are going to play that one of the episodes that's coming out next week, July 7th. Tune in. And I think that's cool. It's a sponsor episode, but it's something that you, the listener, are going to like. I love the episode, so I already heard it and everything. So that's coming out next week. Yeah, just want to say that. Thank you for listening to this episode. Wow. Please let me know if I did good, man. Thank you for listening to this solo episode of Gamer Tag Radio, episode 1044. It was a lot of fun. Please send us more questions. This is the type of thing that I like, man. So send us questions nonstop, fan mail.
And here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
And like I said, July is going to be a very, very big, big month in gaming. And we have a couple things I've been working on for a while. And I can't wait to talk about it here in the podcast, man. All right. So thank you for listening here. This is Danny. And remember, follow me on Twitter, Godfree. That's G-O-D-F-R-E-E. By the way, I just finally hit 10K over there. So that's pretty cool. But thank you, everybody, for the support. And tune in to the next episode of Gamertag Radio. Until next time, take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.